You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sean. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good.
I'm going to say it again. Happy birthday. We got the birthday podcast going today.
Yeah, I think that's cool that it's on my birthday.
That's amazing.
I played that little bit of music. It just means a lot to me. My mom used to sing that to me all the time.
Oh, it's beautiful.
She'd rub my, it's just a goofy thing, but she'd rub my hair behind my ear and sing that song, and it always calmed me down. So I thought I'd play it this morning in honor of her, since she's the one that gave birth to me. So
yes, well, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. That's a wonderful memory. And I mean, I think anyone that knows that song, it just kind of it brightens up your day listening to it. I think maybe I'll listen to it again later today in memory of your mom and the thought of that. Thank you. That's really wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, I actually think, well, I know my wife used to sing that to my kids too. So,
wow, great.
Yeah, so it's just, and listen, I'm sure that song means a lot to a lot of people. It's one of those songs, but
I think you're right. It's being passed on from generation to generation. That's good. Hopefully your kids will carry on the tradition there.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you're going to talk about our subject today and do our definition as per.
Yes, I am. And you know, it's interesting. I listened to a podcast the other day with it was Oprah Winfrey, and she does the definitions of things too, which I thought was good. Oh, that's, we're following suit. And so we, you know, when we first started up with the podcast, we were you know, tossing around ideas of what we wanted to call it. And we ended up calling it, of course, The Chivalrous Guys. And I think we defined chivalry in that first episode, but we're going to revisit it just to kind of really do a podcast about, you know, what it is to be chivalrous in today's world. And it's kind of got this bygone connotation, but I think it is still very present in a lot of people's lives. And we just, you know, we want to advocate for chivalry, and we want to just kind of, reinvite people to continue that kind of idea of being chivalrous. So, yeah, originally chivalry is defined as showing honor, generosity, and courtesy. And so then, of course, I did go on to define honor, courteousness, and generosity. Honor is high respect, great esteem, and knowing and doing what is morally right.
Wow.
Courteousness is to be polite, respectful, and considerate of others. And generousness is showing a readiness to give more of something. And I thought it was interesting in the generosity, it said especially money. Which I mean, I know that we all know that generosity and giving money is a thing, but when I read that, I thought, you know, there's something that could be included, and it wasn't included in the definition. So maybe I'll call Wikipedia and change that today, but probably not. But I thought being generous with time was something to really important to consider, because, you know, not everyone has the opportunity to give money. You know, I know we've both had struggles with money. And so I'm not always available to give money, but I am available to give my time freely as a kind of an unselfish act. So I thought maybe we'd start with generosity.
I wrote down time this morning too. So that's funny.
That's perfect. We're on the same page. So
yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to let's just discuss some opportunities that we've had in our life that we felt where we were generous with our time and or our money. So do you want to start us off, or do you want me to start? What do you think?
I could start.
Okay.
Cuz I've got something that that actually this week has brought up that subject again for me.
Sure.
I started a few years ago, after I had gotten clean off my opiate addiction. I started there's a big organization called Life Ring,
Okay.
and it's kind of just another option instead of AA or GA or NA. And
Okay.
listen, as you know, AA, GA, NA are wonderful groups and have saved countless lives.
Some
Life Ring is
promises.
by no means against that.
Yeah.
We're happy if you go to both. But
Yeah.
the reason Life Ring was created, because there are a few people that don't connect with AA and GA. Both
Yeah.
those groups have a bit of a religious connotation, even though you don't have to be religious, but people get in their head it is.
They do, sure.
So this guy in California, I mean, back in, I think it was in the 50s or something, maybe whenever it was, it could have been the 80s. I don't know my history, but it's been around a long time. He
Yeah.
started this group called Life Ring,
Cool.
and it spread internationally. And about 4 or 5 years ago, I was looking for a group and I couldn't find anything I liked. So someone led me to this, and I started a chapter in Moncton. It went extremely well. I helped a lot of people, helped myself. I won a community star award from the local mental health and addiction center.
Yeah,
I was very
amazing.
proud of that moment.
Yeah.
I got to speak at Addiction Day events and suicide events, and I had a really good reaction. It meant a lot to me. It was very humbling. So I gave a lot of my time and money, actually, because I would, you're supposed to, we have these $20 books that you're supposed to sell. But of course, a lot of people in the throes of addiction aren't loaded. And I would
Yep.
always just say, oh, we'll take it. We'll just take it. We'll just take it. And I was
Yeah,
given hundreds of dollars worth of books. I bought donuts and coffee every week on my dime. I was supposed to put a hat out to collect. I'd get like 50 cents, and the group went really well. And then COVID shut it down. So we did it on Zoom for quite a while. A few of us hung on, but it eventually, I had a stroke and things just went away. But I've just recently decided to start it again. I've been struggling to get the space back because I do it at the local mental health and addiction center, like the government one. They gave me a room last time, but the rules have changed, so it's been tougher. But we've gotten through the red tape. I'm starting again on June 4th,
Amazing.
and I'm excited about it. I'm a little nervous, just like last time,
Yeah.
but it's so that's giving of my time and a little bit of my money that I don't really have. I'm going to try to collect money this time a little bit, maybe online. Just I don't mean hundreds, I mean tens, just a little bit to help
Yeah.
with the donuts and coffee.
Yeah.
But I do it. I really, this sounds maybe cliche, but I really do it for me. Even my therapist said, Sean, you are much happier when you are running this group.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've made lifelong friends from last time.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. So that's definitely an example of my generosity, I guess. It sounds funny to say that, you're speaking about
Yeah.
yourself, but anyway, it's the truth.
It's not funny. It's wonderful, and I know that sometimes when we give, it feels in a way. You don't want to call it selfishness, but you do it probably first, like you're doing it for others, but it helps you at the same time. That's the gift of giving. And I mean, the programs that we've been in, they do open doors for opportunities to help people.
Absolutely.
I was feeling very similar, and I know that a lot changed during COVID, which was unfortunate. Rooms closed down and people got isolated, and there wasn't the connection that people had before, and that was a very difficult thing, and it really hasn't quite gotten back to normal. A lot of people still work from home, and some people took it as an opportunity to continue in a kind of a state of isolation, which is unfortunate, but slowly things are getting back to normal. And so a couple of weeks ago at a meeting, I felt the same way. I felt like there was, meetings are good, but some type of connection outside of that was important. And so I started a WhatsApp group for
Oh.
New Market AA people. And it's starting to gain momentum, which is great.
Awesome.
People are sharing gratitudes daily. They're offering rides to people. They're, and slowly, like I would like to start making suggestions about a baseball game in the park, a football game. It doesn't have to cost anything because, again, people are, they have money issues. But going to the movies, playing pool, meetings are great. They are, but people need more. They need connection. They need real connection. And I feel generous in that. It makes me feel good to see people getting on board with it, asking other people to get on board with it. Yesterday, a friend on the group, her son's friend OD'd,
Oh.
thankfully didn't die, but was in the hospital. And she just said, "Look, is anyone on here want to offer your phone number in case they want to talk?" And a bunch of people said, "Yeah, please, here's my phone number, call." So it's just it's grateful. Like, it's very grateful work. You feel grateful to do it. You feel grateful to help. And I think that's there's something very real about helping others.
Absolutely.
It feels good in your heart. It just feels right. So,
Well, I think we both have learned how good it feels when people help us,
100%.
how important those phone numbers were to us and those connections were to us. So, you got to be there to do the same. And I think it feels better when you're on this end because you've made some progress, and you're ready
Does.
to share,
You're able to share because you've gotten through it yourself, and you're in a space where you can. But yeah, it is. It's very rewarding work. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and selfishly, I
And
know for a fact I was doing better when I was running my group. I've had some struggles since I stopped running it, and
of course,
I'm hoping that this really helps me out of some of those jams. Maybe jams too strong a word. Just some of those situations in my some real, some mental, whatever. So I'm looking forward to it. And I got to tell you, the community has been so supportive. I've gotten emails from, community leaders and politicians and everyone that's already saying they're so happy that it's back because the community Moncton where I live in Riverview but the Moncton general area it's growing exponentially and therefore and problems grow exponentially, our homelessness is up, drug rates are up, and my wife works in the same type of industry for a living. She deals with a lot of it, and it's becoming I hate to say it, but it's an epidemic. It's really becoming a real problem. So,
Well, and for sure, when the services aren't available, then people are going to slip through. Like, it's without the services, people are going to slip through the cracks. So as soon as you can offer those services again,
yeah.
I think people will, once it gets rolling, people will take advantage of it. So yeah, if we can maybe on YouTube add a link for the Life Ring,
Absolutely.
wonderful. I'd like to look that up and become part of that too. So that sounds great.
Yeah, they have a lot of online services. It's a huge group. I think that's a great idea. And I yeah, and another thing I find about the what's going on in the communities, mine is what I know the best is not just that there's a lack of services. People don't know how to access the services that are there. So they need some guidance just with that and how to where to get, it's a big circle of services and where do you enter and where do you go next? And there's a lot of steps. So it's interesting.
Yeah, and when I was thinking about this, the generosity with time and money, I know we've both talked about it. I don't know whether it was the way I was raised or what it is, but for the most part, whenever I see someone, on the street who's struggling at a stop sign, at a light, If I have money in my car, I give it. I
Yep.
mean, I have no problem. I think there could be some fear and trepidation for some people not to open their window. You know, they don't know what's going on. But I mean, there have been times in my life where I didn't have a lot of money to put together, and I just felt there was something about helping somebody else out, giving a couple of bucks,
Absolutely.
putting a smile on their face. And you know, a lot of people, you know, and even me, I might think, oh, well, it's probably going to go buy a bottle of booze, he or she. And, but you know what? If that's what it is that needs to get you through the day, then, I mean, you know, and I've had opportunities where, like, maybe I had a sandwich in my truck or something, or even, you know, whatever, something that they could eat, which I thought would be beneficial. I'll offer that. And I think those little things, that's just sharing love right there, man. That's just like, I see that you're down, and it doesn't really matter how far down we may have gone ourselves. There's always going to be someone who's further down than we are. And you know,
Oh, a friend of mine I met in Lifering, he used to walk around Main Street with water. He would just handle bottles of water. And I'll tell you, it went a long way. Another guy I know used to give out socks. Socks are a huge problem for homeless people. Their feet get worn out, and shoes, if you could afford them. I mean, you can go buy shoes, like cheap shoes for a few bucks a pair somewhere, you know, just something canvas or something, you know. I don't think I understand the trepidation, like you said, people have, because you have to be protective. You can't be stupid, but I don't think people understand. Like, I've had people say the same thing, oh, they're going to buy a bottle, or maybe they don't need it as much as you think. I said, these people are homeless. Really think about what it'd be like to not have a home to go to. I've never had that, knock on wood.
Thank
I've
God.
been close, but I always think that I even have enough family today that I think it would take a lot for me to be on the street. I think I would end up somewhere. I could probably end up on your couch if I had to. Like, I just know a
Of
lot of
course.
people.
Of course.
So, even though it wouldn't be ideal, I don't to be homeless, but these people, some of them, a lot of them have mental illness.
Absolutely.
A lot of them have nobody. So they hit bottom and they have nobody to help
Nowhere
them.
to go.
And I just think I am such a homebody, and home is definitely my safe space. And to not have a home to go to, I just can't imagine, Chris.
I can't either. I can't either. And the reality is, of course, there are always going to be people that are scammers, that are just out there just trying to make a few bucks. I'm sure there's no doubt that that happens. But the vast majority of them, you know, honestly, you can see it in their face. They do not want to be doing this. Nobody goes out and wants to panhandle
Absolutely.
on a corner because it's like, oh, I'm gonna, like, it's real. I mean, you know, you've heard it, everyone's heard it. The struggle is real. It is. And a lot of it is mental addiction, a mental, you
Absolutely. I know stories in Moncton where people have been
know.
got they've gotten them apartments or homes to live in, and then they find them back on the street because they don't even they've rented their apartment out that they got for free so they could get money for drugs, or they get like addiction is so powerful. And you've got to solve the addiction first, because I was an addict. I am an addict. And I'll tell you, when I was in the throes of my addiction, buddy, I don't know. Nothing came first. Nothing. It came first, period. And I know the people that haven't had an addiction don't understand it. And I don't, and I understand they don't understand. How could they understand? I get it. But
Absolutely.
when you do understand, when you've been there, I love the fact that your mug says, "Hey there, sunshine."
I do too. I was like, you are my sunshine. I'm like,
It's
this is so fitting, eh?
like you
Weird.
planned it. It's like you planned
I
it.
had no idea what song you were gonna play, so I didn't, but
That's
yeah, hey there, sunshine, you are my sunshine. It's all tying together, isn't it?
crazy. So do you want to talk more about generosity, or do you want to
I've
move
got a
on?
few other examples of things that I
Okay.
feel like I've done in my life that were
Awesome.
important. I coached soccer for a long time. 20 plus years. I did it
Wow.
when I was young. I did it sort of throughout my I did it through my 20s, 30s, and into my 40s. I haven't done it in the last few years, but there was a time in the early going where I coached young kids, and the parents would always be, "Oh, it's so great, Chris, you're so great with the kids. Like, which one is your kid?" And I said, "Oh, I don't have kids." And they're like, "So
Why are
you're
you
just
here?
here? Yeah, what are you doing?" I said, "Look, I love soccer. I grew up with soccer, and I just want to help." And people were really kind of surprised by that. They're like, "Wow, so you're just coming out on a Tuesday night, Thursday night, weekends for tournaments, and you don't even have kids." And I thought that was wonderful. And over the years, I met a great many kids, of course, and
Funny.
some that I really connected with, like that I still talk to today. I coached some kids probably 20 years ago, and at the time they had just lost their father, and it turned out I knew their father. I didn't know him well, but he was the vice principal at our high school, and he was a young, fit guy, very well liked, very kind, generous person, and he had a heart attack. I think it was he was a big runner, and I think he had a heart attack in a race and died. And there he left these, two kids. I think one was 16 and one was 13. And they joined my team. And the thing was, the 13-year-old really couldn't joke. He wasn't supposed to be on the team, but we spoke to the league and we said, "Look, it's, I think it's important that these kids stay together." And we just made a really strong connection. And that year we went on and we won the league championship, and we won, like, there's this picture I have of that day. We were in the newspaper, Schaumburg team wins the U18 Youth Cup. We're holding up this trophy, and I could just you just look
Wow.
at the boys, and it was just a wonderful, eclectic group of kids. And there are these two kids who had lost their dad. And I just think it was, again, it was a gift. It was an opportunity for me to kind of just be a father figure in their life and a mentor. And I remember their mom coming up to me at the end of the season, and she was crying, and she said, "It's just been such a gift, Chris, for you to be here in their lives." That's
That's
something I'll
amazing.
never forget, man. Like,
And you still have connection with those guys a little bit.
yeah, once in a while we'll check in. I'll see it's their birthday, or on Facebook or whatever, and I'll just text and say, "Hey, man, how are you?" And he's married now and has kids, and it's just,
That's
yeah, I mean,
incredible.
it brings joy to my heart today after all these years. And those are opportunities to find a real connection with kids, and just that spirit of team, and just getting together with a group of guys. And so that was really a wonderful opportunity. And a couple of other things I was involved in the Schaumburg Community Farm. We secured a property that was given to the township, and then we slowly developed a constitution and various things. It took almost 2 years of meetings every month with a goal in sight, but yeah, eventually it came to fruition. And my cat's here, sorry. And it was just a wonderful gift to the community, to have people. Whoa, sorry, Sarah, that's
This
there we go.
is
That'll be fun.
the professional podcast,
That'll be fun on YouTube.
sir.
But yeah, that was another example of just giving my time, and eventually it's a community farm. People go there, they grow vegetables, they hang out together, there's events, there's beekeeping, there's all kinds of stuff. So yeah, just look, things like that, opportunities that I've had in my life to give my time that have been very, very rewarding. So
Absolutely. I
yeah.
I'm jealous and mad at myself. I always wanted to coach. I never got the opportunity. My kids weren't big into sports. They did a couple things here and there. But my kids were into music, like their mother. My youngest son plays anything he picks up, and my oldest son's almost like that too. He's a very good piano player and plays the bass and I don't have anything major, but I think and I wouldn't normally say this stuff, except we're talking about it. I was always generous when my kids were little, especially like the boy, they'd have their friends over. I always bought pizza. I always bought food. I always bought the video games that the kids wanted to play. I was generous if the kids needed rides, if they wanted to go to the store, the mall, the whatever. I was the parent that drove. I always did everything. And even with my friends and family, I made good money for a while. It wasn't a long while, but when I did, like I always picked up the tab. It was just my thing. Like I never wanted people to do it back. And I have a hard time to this day. You know, I have picked up tabs for my kids and their wives, or I will try to do it. And sometimes it's the last 70 bucks I have. Like literally, like I'm like, oh, please let this go through, you know. And I know the people at the table have more money than me. And it's like I have this hard time not paying. I always want to say just one, you know. But I've tried to explain to myself and others, there's a difference between being cheap and being broke. I am not cheap. I am probably broke because I'm not cheap. I always, and listen, I spent most of my money on myself. I was always buying new trucks and new Harleys and new whatever. But, you know, my kids always had a car to drive and they always had gas and they always had everything they needed. And Christmas was always, I mean, Christmas was crazy in this house. This, like, you know, I think people stopped coming here because they didn't want, I mean, we couldn't get to the tree, you know, like
We did the same thing.
it was never enough. Like, and I think back now, my kids didn't need it. They weren't even asking for all of it, but I just, and I'd be like the day before Christmas, like, oh, have we got enough? Have we got enough? My wife would look at me like, are you insane? Like,
I know.
is enough? But I've always liked giving. I don't mind getting either. Like, it's my birthday. I'm not one of those people that goes, oh no, I don't gift for me. Like, no. I expect a gift. Like, from a couple people, you know. So, but
No, but it's chivalrous though, all the things that you're talking about. It truly is. And I like to do the same thing when I can. I like to get the tab and all those things. And yeah, Christine and I would always we'd set a budget for Christmas, and then it'd be getting closer. And we're like, oh, I just got one more thing. And then how did you do with the budget? Oh, I completely blew it. Like
Oh,
I
yeah.
know, wasn't even close. And there'd be stuff just stacked under the tree. And it was just, it wasn't necessarily for the materialistic aspect of it. I mean, a lot of the presents were, they were necessary, or they weren't, or they weren't. But it was just the joy. It was just the joy of seeing the kids like
Open them up
coming
in the
down.
snow.
Oh my
Oh,
God,
I
Santa
know.
was here.
I remember that I got the kids a Nintendo 64 the year that no one could get them, and oh my God, that them ripping that open, they were just little. And even my wife, every Christmas for years, we'd always set a budget for each other. She would keep it, and we'd be like, okay, got to keep it. Oh yeah, and I'd always blow by it. And I said, my Christmas present is to make you feel bad that I got you more than you got. That's my present to myself. So, but yeah, you know, it's not like that anymore. I haven't got that kind of money, but and I don't think I would do that now. My kids are grown. Maybe if I get grandkids, but it's not the same. It's
It's
not.
not. It's not. After a while, after a while, it becomes just really more about the family and just being together
It
and
really is, yeah.
just sharing that connection. It's not so much about the presents once the kids grow up, but
Well, I think with me, it's like back then the kids lived with us, but now I don't see my kids very often. So when I say just seeing my family, that's really the truth.
it's totally true.
My youngest son has COVID. He's getting over it now, but we were supposed to get together on Saturday and we were going to play Catan and I was going to see them and the dog and I was so excited and it got canceled. And I was devastated. I was devastated. That's what I wanted for my birthday, was to see them. But anyway, it's working out. We're going to go over tonight. Tonight's my actual birthday, so it's fine. It's good.
That's great. That's
Yeah.
great.
Yeah, that's cool.
Generous. So I think we've touched on generous. Maybe courteous could be the next one, which is polite, respectful, and considerate.
Absolutely. I will let you go first, sir.
Okay. All
That's
right.
courteous of me.
It is very courteous of you. That's very polite of you as well, and respectful, and considerate. It's all three.
Absolutely. And generous. My
And
gosh.
yeah, oh, we're so chivalrous this morning. I
Tried
think
my telephone.
courteousness is it is pretty easy to do, and you can do it on a lot of different scales. Politeness to me, like opening the door for somebody, to me that's something that, it doesn't have to be a man for a woman. It could be a woman for it doesn't matter. It's just a tiny gesture. And if people are available in the moment, they receive it, and they're grateful. It's just a little thing, but it people are like, oh, thank you very much. Like,
I find men appreciate it more because they're
yeah,
not expecting it. I'm a
yeah.
big, and I'll hold the door and they go, "Oh, wow, thanks, man." Like that's like they don't expect me to do it, right? So.
There's truth in that. And it's just a connection, I find. Like, when you do it, you have a moment of connection with another human being. And the reality is, we're all in this together. And just a little gesture like that, in my daily journal, there were, it said, smile at three random people today. And there's something that's just nice about that. And it's like, all you have to do is turn your mouth up, and like, you might help somebody that day. Like, it's not some great act. It's a really little thing, but it could change a person's day. It really could.
And 99% of people smile back.
They do.
I do at the
They do.
grocery store. I can't help it. I smile at everybody I walk by. It's just if I
It's
make eye contact with you, I'm going to smile.
It's
I
contagious. It's
it
contagious,
is.
right? Because a lot of people, and of course myself at times, you get in you're in your own head. You're kind of in your own way. You're maybe in a bad way, and you don't want to make eye contact with people. You don't want to be acknowledged. Maybe you're going through some guilt or something that's going on in your life. But I think when you're kind of free of that, maybe when you're in a good place for yourself, you're available to offer that to others. And that's just a really, to me, a simple thing to do.
Even in my neighborhood, I wave to people I see walking that I don't know, but I feel they're my neighbors. You know, like I see them walking their dog, I'm driving by, and they usually smile and wave. I mean, I also notice when I'm sure a lot of people are. I do hold the door for everybody. I get it held for me, but I notice when people don't hold it for me.
I do too.
And I also notice when I do something like hold the door and no one says anything. It's okay, but I just like you can't even say thanks. Like, and it's like there's a McDonald's I drive through to get breakfast or coffee quite often. And there's a kid that works there who's I would hire him if I could. This kid is amazing. But there's another kid that works there who never says anything. Like I'm giving him his money. He just takes it. I say thanks. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I'm buying a coffee off you. I'm thanking you. You can't, like, I guess my point is that's how important it is to be polite and courteous because I think people are noticing when you're not doing it, you know?
And I'm sure that you're not doing it to get somebody to thank you,
Nope.
but I think that the thank you is the acknowledgement of the act. And if you're not acknowledging the act, then you're probably kind of in it. Like, you're in your own head, and
Absolutely.
you're not as open and available to receive it. And I think that you can see that in somebody, and maybe you feel badly for them because they're not as present as you might
Yeah,
hope that they could be.
and someone told me a long time ago that, you know, if someone's being rude or if someone's honking at you or road rage, or like I said, maybe this kid doesn't ever say thank you, you've got to be patient and understanding because you just don't know what that person could be going through. You don't
Absolutely.
know their situation.
Absolutely. You
If
don't.
someone's losing their shit at you at a stop sign, it's
Yeah.
probably not about that, you know?
No, it's not likely. In AA, they remind you to say the sick man's prayer, because this person's probably going through some stuff. Like, if they have that much rage about somebody driving in front of them on the highway, then they've got some problems
Absolutely.
there.
Absolutely.
You know, and you talked about being in the neighborhood. I live in a small town again, and there is something different about being in a small town because there is an interconnectedness that can be different. I mean, I spent, you know, a couple of years ago, I spent a year in the city, and I found it difficult because there's so much less connection. People are
City,
just,
you mean Toronto?
yeah,
Yeah.
people are just so fucking busy. Like, it's like head down, fucking racing to the next thing. Like, they're just, you know, I find that there's a different vibrancy in a small town where people are, you know, they're just maybe going a little slower and they're taking a minute to talk to their neighbor. And
I agree.
we have a wonderful neighbor here. And when we first moved in, she came over with a map of all the houses and everyone's name. And she had even added my name and Tracy's name to our house. And she started it during COVID to create a connectedness between the neighbors. So now, like, we go out, like, I know all I've met like a lot of my neighbors, and they're all like, it's all first name basis.
That's
Hey, Chris.
unbelievable.
Hey,
That's
Chris. Hey, Dave.
what a nice thing to do.
It's just, and it's so simple. Like,
Yeah.
it's not a complicated thing. It's almost like you want to like start a movement of like, hey, start mapping your neighborhood and writing down your friends' names. Because, you know, and we've been talking about having a little like community event or neighborhood event in our backyard here. We've got a great backyard. It's just connecting with people in your neighborhood. It's just, there's something nice about knowing the people that you live with and just spending
Oh,
getting to know them.
there's people that do it. And I'm a very, I should write, my last name is P for Polly. It should be P for procrastination because I'm the king of saying I've got idea. Oh, and I think my wife and kids had probably just listened to me go, oh, yeah, okay, dad. Yeah. You'll never do anything you say you're going to do, you know. But I followed through here and there. But I do have a lot of ideas that I don't do. But I've always thought, and it would be hard. But I would love to once a year have a street party where we blocked off the street, got permission, and everyone came out with their barbecues and just a couple hours of just walking around and saying hi and getting to know everybody. And I think that would be
Absolutely.
fantastic. It's fantastic.
I do too. And I find, I think more lately, because I try to live in a very present state. I don't worry about what happened yesterday. I'm not too worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. So I find that the best thing for me is to just act on it, to just go for it. Like, you know, if I want to have a community event, I'm just gonna, like, as soon as the podcast is done, I'm gonna start the flyer. Like, that's it. I'm
Right.
just gonna go for it, right? You know, it's like we talked about, we had been doing gratitudes and we gotten away from it for a bit, and then we texted. I said, I want to do the gratitudes thing again, and then I just did it right away. Like,
Yeah,
I
I
just
know. Yeah.
boom, right? You know, and then, you know, even if you do decide to do this community event, okay, so maybe five people come, whatever, but. And then they tell a couple of other people, and then maybe you say, oh, we're going to do it again next year. And then 10 people come. And then all of a sudden, it's like a thing. Like, it just starts
Right.
gaining momentum. And, you know, I think the things that are important to us in life, they end up happening because we make them happen, right?
Well,
So, you know.
I am not like you. I'm tr you've been trying, I think, out of your heart, trying to influence me to be more in the moment. I'm not. I'm not. I worry about the past. I live in the past. I worry all the time. I'm trying to be mindful, but I listened to a podcast a while ago, and I can't say it like he said it, but I loved what he said because it was basically planning something is not doing something. Writing something down is not doing it. The talking to you about it is not doing it. Only doing it is doing it. And he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. You got to just sometimes, even this podcast, you and I
It's
talked about it
amazing.
for a while,
We did,
and our first couple, including this, were I do find it's getting better every time, but I didn't know how to do it. And eventually we just said, we got to do this. Like, let's hit record and let's put something out there and get this going, or we're never going to do it. And I'm so glad we did. I look
Me
forward.
too, me too. And it's interesting because there's a Tragically Hip song that I love. I can't think of which one it is right now. I heard it just a couple of days ago. And the line in it is, "No one's interested in something you didn't do."
Oh, wow.
You know, it's like,
What a great line.
yeah, it's exactly what you're saying. It's like, yeah, talking to someone about something that you're going to do is totally like it, you know, okay, I'll listen to it, but unless you do it, it just is like,
Yeah, like whatever.
it's just a concept in your mind, right?
Well,
So,
that old saying, talk is cheap. It's true.
exactly. Yeah. No one's interested
My cousin kind of
in
showed me that. My cousin's very like that. Like I'll be saying ideas, and it drives me crazy a little bit, but he'll Google it right away and go, oh well, yeah, but that doesn't make sense, or that's already been taken, or that's been. And I'm like, oh yeah, well, I'm just, I don't
Right.
know, I'm just bullshitting anyway, but I get it, and I'm gonna, if I take anything from today, I'm gonna try to take that. I'm gonna try to take that and just doing it. Well, that's what, who says that? Nike, just do it. I
Just
mean,
do it.
that's like that's why that slogan is so popular, I guess. Just do
No
it.
question. Just do it.
It doesn't say just bullshit about it.
No. Just
Just
talk
talk
about
about
it.
it.
Yeah, just talk
Let's
about
start
it.
our own t-shirts to say just talk about it.
Just talk about it. It's going to be fun.
It could be positive. It could be,
Good. Good. You never know. It's not as good as just do it. Let's be
Well,
honest.
you and I, or you actually, but I was going to help you. We Years ago, you talked about starting a t-shirt company, and I was going to help you, and I to this day wish we'd have done it. Maybe we still can.
I'm not, yeah, I was going to say, I'm not concerned that we haven't done it. I still want to do it. I don't know why. I've always had this kind of affinity. I know that you have a very strong t-shirt collection. My t-shirt collection right now, I don't really like it that much, but
A
I
little
think there's
bit.
opportunity to, like, I don't know, just come up with some cool stuff. Like, people wear t-shirts, let's be honest. And I know there's a million t-shirt companies out there, but I
Yeah,
don't know. I
so
just
there
feel
can
like
be a million plus one. I
a
mean,
million and one. Yeah. I still want to do it.
I have a lot of good, I think, good ideas, like good little quips. I got a pretty good sense of humor and sarcasm,
You
and
do.
I think we should do it. I think we should. I'm not gonna, I got a couple ideas out, but I'm not gonna say it on this because they'll get stolen and we'll lose a billion
Yeah.
dollars, but.
There was a couple of funny interactions that I had yesterday, actually, where this guy that I was working with, somebody at a meeting had said something to the effect of, "Oh, you're like Vincent Van Gogh, you're all ears," which I thought was kind of funny. And then we happened to be in the superstore, and I forget what their brand is, but they sell clothing, and
George or something.
George, yeah, and they're on a t-shirt is a picture of Grogu, right? You know, the baby Yoda.
Yeah.
And it says, "I'm all ears." And we're just like, what the hell? Like, what? Like,
Twice in one day. That's
crazy one day.
funny.
Like, this is not a coincidence. This is like, it was interesting.
Well,
So,
it's like Shonda has a shirt with Yoda on it because Shonda's only 5, like 2, and
yeah.
it says, "Judge me by my size, do you?" And I've always loved that t-shirt
Oh,
on.
yeah, that's wonderful.
It's perfect,
So good.
Don't want to
So
judge her by her size because she's the powerhouse of this family. Believe me.
exactly. Yeah.
When she
Yeah.
speaks, we listen.
Yeah, for sure. Good things come in small packages, as they
They
say.
do.
This is another one.
They very much do. She came down this morning and. I've been with her since I was 16, 17, and I'm 54. So you imagine how much of my life has been lived with her compared to without her. Like, I mean, it's twice as much. And she said something to me this week that she said, you are now older than your mom when your mom passed. And that blew my mind. Like, I can't believe that. Like, anyway, it's just,
Time passes whether we want it to or not,
it
right?
does. So yeah, I think courtesy, courtesy can also go too far. I have a really, I get a little bit of road rage at four-way stops when people won't just follow the
Oh
rules.
well, yeah. No,
Oh,
you go. No, you go. No, you go. It's
you.
hilarious.
They've been there
Somebody
for 5 minutes. Like, you're getting your mail there at this point. Like,
has
would you just go,
to make a move. Yeah.
and then as
I
soon as
mean,
you go, they go.
yeah, but that is another good example. I mean, you mentioned the road rage, you know, just letting somebody in on the highway or whatever. Those are little things, but and then they don't wave, and you're like, oh, okay. I mean, It's nice to get the wave, but I don't need the wave. But
it's nice to get it.
Nice
well,
to
I
get
told
it.
you this little story before. It was a bit of comeuppance because when you go through drive-thrus now at a lot of the restaurants, there's two lanes.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to get screwed. No matter what lane I pick, someone's going to pull up and get served before me. And I was there and I was always getting upset about this, right?
Right.
But one day it happened. I was waiting behind a car. I pull up. This other lady pulls up, gets
Yeah.
served before me. And I'm like, rrr, 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 rrr. And I think I'm saying it loud enough that she can probably hear me. Like, oh, I never, the guy, in the, I was saying it so the guy in the window could hear me, right? Like, you know, I was here, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I pull up to pay, and the guy tells me, oh, no, the lady in front of you paid for you today.
There you go.
And I was like, oh, Sean.
Yeah.
Oh, you piece of shit. Like,
right. Yeah.
I'm back there being a jerk over something so stupid, and
Yeah.
this lady pays for me, whether she heard me or not. And
Right.
I have never said anything since, whether I'm at the grocery store and the line moves wrong or someone gets an open cash and they go ahead. Because
Yeah.
I, especially in the car, I think to myself, okay, so this is going to take 2 seconds of my life.
Exactly. Yeah.
To get upset about it, who
No.
cares? Who
Exactly.
cares? I'll get
Yeah.
my coffee when I get my coffee. I mean, I'm sure I've never drove away without a coffee. I'm sure it'll happen. Like,
Yeah.
but you know, little things can eat at you and it's not good.
There's always an opportunity to see the good and bad in everything. You know, you can see that was like, you know, you can take it and like let it ruin your day, or you can just go, oh well. I mean, that's just, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's just like the tortoise and the hare. Sometimes I'll be driving down the main street and I'm going fast and this other car is going slow and I've passed them. But
Yeah.
by the time we get to the last light, he's usually right beside me. You know, he took his time and got there and I was roaring up and down going between lights and yeah, he got there, you know. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And that's how accidents happen.
For sure.
My
Yeah.
dad taught me to drive a Harley when I was young. And one thing I always thought, he said, never be accelerating on a two-lane street,
Okay.
like ahead of people. Like, don't be trying to get ahead of people. Don't, because you will get cut off and you will get killed. And he's right. It's just not worth it. Just take your time. You'll get there, you know. So
patience.
A friend of mine has really bad road rage, and him, my kids, his kids, we've all bugged him about it for years. I don't know if he's gotten better or not, but it's a bit of a joke with us. But I do, anyway, I do feel bad because I think it raises his blood pressure and it's, you know,
yeah,
it is what it is. It is what it is.
It is.
So I think that's good for courtesy and
yeah.
generosity. So I think the last one might be the hardest one.
Honor.
Honor.
High respect, great esteem, and knowing and doing what is morally right. I think knowing what is morally right isn't hard. Doing it is the hard part, right? You know, we've all found ourselves in, yeah, you want to say something?
No, I was going to say, just like we just said, doing it is doing it, you know?
It is, and it is. I think in a way, we're all born with a moral compass. Like, we know in our heart, in our soul, whatever, what is morally right. You know, there are simple things like, you know, murder, cheating, lying, various things that we know when we do it, it is wrong.
Ten Commandments. I mean, they're pretty obvious.
They are. Whether you're religious or not, when you speak the Ten Commandments, you know these are morally right things to do. But I think it's the smaller things. And again, you know, I think at the moment I'm very capable of doing things that are morally right, but throughout my life, there have been times where I haven't. Various selfish times in my life, times maybe where I lived in a bit of a state of fear, where I didn't always tell the truth. Where I didn't always do the right thing, where I, you know, might have done something to someone for my own selfish gain instead of doing the right thing. And again, I think that, you know, part of the AA program is it's being honest. It's one of the foundations of it. It's being honest with yourself and being honest with others. And there's a real freedom in that. And I know, like, when I had to go through my amends with people, and some of my resentments, I had some resentment towards my mom, because my mom, she was all about, like, I love her. I shouldn't say she was all about, but she had this thing where she thought that white lies were fine.
Right.
And I don't know where the term white lie came from. Maybe I should look that up, but it was kind of like a white lie was like not really a lie
Yeah, little white lie.
because it was a little one. I don't know, even as a kid, I was like, well, you're either lying or you're not. Like, there's, I don't think like a white lie is
They
any
add
better.
up.
And I got in trouble at one point because we were coming back from Europe and my mom had brought all these sausages and in her.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I
And
know what
we're at
you're gonna say.
the customs. Yeah. And he's like, do you have any meat products? I was like 12, and mom's like, no. And I couldn't help it. I'm like,
Yes, we do.
what about all those sausages you've got in your suitcase? She looked at
Oh.
me as though I had like just murdered my sister. Like,
Oh.
I was in so much trouble. And I'm like, why am I getting in trouble
For telling the
for
truth.
telling the truth? And honestly, for years after that, Sean, I had like a phobia, like going to the airport and like not telling the truth. It was a bizarre thing. Like, it stuck with me for a long time.
Wow.
And I can remember another instance where we were supposed to go to a party or something was going on, and my mom was spinning this yarn. Oh, well, we'll tell them we did this, this, this. And I'm like, why don't we just tell them the truth?
Right.
Like,
We don't
we
want to
don't want
go.
to come, or so I don't like.
Retired, whatever.
It's like, man, I really like I held that for a long time.
It's
And the
wild.
problem is, when you're a kid, there's two people that you look up to and you build your foundations for who you are. It's your mom and dad. There's no two ways about it. So when your mom teaches you that it's okay to lie, well, you just go on lying.
Yeah.
So it's
You're right.
really been in the last year when I got into AA and I like started to be more and more honest with that. I was like, thank God I've like let this go.
That is, it's amazing how long that stuck with you. And
Weird, eh? Like, it's like.
I can definitely understand. I never put it like that, but my mom told a lot of white lies too. Both my parents lied a lot to each other, especially. And I was brought up in a whole, my whole life, it was deception. It was more about just keeping her keeping stuff from him keeping stuff from her. Some of them small, some of them big. But it, I'm
Oh,
going to get serious for a second. I'm sorry I have to, but it led to my mom's eventual suicide.
yeah.
And it destroyed my father a lot of ways. It
Yeah.
wrecked our family completely. I mean, thank God for my family, as in my wife and children, and I still have my big sister who I love a lot, but my family would just exploded,
Yeah.
And like you said, that was my whole life. I was, they were kids bringing up kids, but they were my parents. That's all I had. And I loved them,
Yeah.
but you're right. The deception was not good.
It's corrosive, man. Like, it doesn't, like, it's small. It just small leads to big and bigger and bigger and bigger until it's like
And if
eroding
it's in a
your life.
relationship, it starts to be tit for tat, right? Well,
Absolutely.
you do this, so fuck you, I'll do this. Oh, well, you did this, well, I'll do this, and it starts just being, it just turns everything bitter and mean. And in
And
my own life, I think of the old saying, oh, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive.
I was totally going to say the exact same thing,
It
man.
is so true. I
So
do it.
true.
I catch myself. I tell a little lie, and then I, and especially since my stroke, I forgot the lie I told, and I tell a lie that
Oh
doesn't line up
my
with
God.
this lie. And they go, "Well, you didn't say that before." And I'm like, "Oh shit, what did I say before?" And it's just like,
I know.
just tell the truth. You can't go wrong.
You can't. And like, you and I both know that in addiction, like, what a tangled web that becomes. Like,
Oh.
you don't even know what way is up anymore. Like, you are living in a complete false sense of reality. Like,
Your life's a lie.
you're so outside of yourself that you don't even know who you are, really, is the reality of it. And
No
it is
idea.
a tangled web that you just don't even, Well, there's so much
when you're
fear
in
in
the
it.
middle of an addiction, your addiction is living. You're not. That is your addict. I've learned this, your addicted self and your true self. And your addicted self is not you.
No.
The substance is controlling you 100%.
Yeah.
And you have to let it go after a while, because no matter what I said to my wife or did when I was a full-blown addict, that wasn't me.
No.
I know, because I love her so much. I would never do that to her. But my addicted self would.
Yeah.
My addicted self would do anything.
Sure.
To avoid withdrawal, I would do anything. Anything. And
absolutely.
It's a scary place to be.
It is controlled.
You know,
very scary. Yeah.
But I gotta tell you, I'm gonna go back and be honest here for a second. I have a shit ton of work to do on honor. I can't sit here like you and say that I'm being honorable in my life and completely open and honest about everything, because I'm not yet. I'm not, and I want to. I'm honorable. I love my children. I've been loyal to my wife for 35 years. So that's the honest to God truth. I don't go out. I spend time with my family as much as I can. I work hard. I try. I do my best.
Yeah.
So I do have some honorable characteristics for sure. I'm loyal. I'm very loyal to my friends. But I'm not going to spout it all out here in public. Not yet. But I mean, I still got a lot of work to do. So I've got to work on some stuff.
And we all do. I think, again, common phrase in the program is progress, not perfection.
Right.
You know, as long as you're taking the steps, like they can be baby steps. We're using a lot of cliches, but you move a mountain one pebble at a time. That's just the way it is. So it does require patience. I think the thing that I said at the beginning is that the reality of our being, of our soul, of who we really are, is that at the core of it, we are morally right. It's just that the course of our life takes us away from that. So, you know,
life gets in the way, man.
It does. And you know, knowing it, of course, is half the battle. And then taking the steps to get back to that state of kind of just a free existence of, you know, honesty, humility, courteousness, generousness, all the things that we're talking about. It does take work, but
and mindfulness.
Mindfulness.
That word is thrown around so much now.
A lot.
It is, because it's a big word. It means a lot. Shonda's doing better at it. She's not perfect. I'm trying, but I have started to realize it means everything, because, and you've told me this, and you're trying, and you've worked trying to help me, I believe. If Shonda and I, my wife and I, can just live for today, we will be so much better off. But what happens is we do that for a few days, but we have a lot of real problems, real financial, health, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And what happens is something pops up.
Mm-hmm.
We start arguing, and then the past is all brung up again.
Right.
Oh, well, we're here because of what you did. And then it's just like, and I'm drugged right back down into it. And then I'm back feeling guilty, and it's a hard thing to do, man. It's a hard thing to do. I think eventually we'll get out of this mess, you know, or I'll be feeling okay. And then the government will call, or, you know, the tax department will call or something. And it's just like, oh God, here we go. You know? So, you know, those are real things you can't forget about, but
they are real things. I mean, I think the reality of those things is that you've managed them over the years, and then you're here. You're, like you say, you still have a roof over your head, and you still have a job, and you have a wife that you love and cherish that you've had for 37 years, and you have a family. And so, we can get stuck in the past and the future. Living in the now it's not as easy as it sounds, but it's freeing.
Yeah.
It's freeing, you know, and I'm very grateful because, well, you know, the path of my life has brought me to where I am today. And today I'm a landscape designer. I work for myself. Like, if I don't want to go to work today, I'm not going to work. I don't have to. My customer may expect me to, but if I'm open and honest about it, and I just say,
I'm
some people are
sore.
receptive to it. I honestly, dude, I could just say, look, it's not in the flow for me today. And I know that sounds weird, but it's true. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes I feel like I'm forcing it, and most of the time I don't. Most of the time I get up, I go
Right.
because it's rewarding and it feels good, but some days it just doesn't feel right. And I'm very grateful and thankful that I have the opportunity to then just do something else. Go for a bike ride or a walk or a hike or go shopping, go to the movies. Like just,
Yep.
and I call that, I and this is a, I guess I could call it a Tracyism. This is what I call going with the flow. And it's to me, and again, I don't want to like create any like, this isn't a religious thing, it's a spiritual thing. I just go with the God's flow kind of thing. And we liken it to like being in a canoe, and you're either just floating downstream and you're in like the lazy river, or you're going upstream and you're paddling like crazy. And when I'm paddling like crazy like that, man, that is not the flow.
No, you're
And
floating.
that's mindfulness, like you said. And that's an opportunity to reflect on what am I doing right now? Why am I doing it? Am I being in my ego? Am I being selfish? What, and pause and go, you know what? This isn't working. I need to shift my thought on this today, and I'm gonna do something else.
No,
So
you're absolutely right. When I do my best, and I unfortunately have lived my whole life in a state of chaos. Maybe that's it. A lot of it's from my spending and the way I was brought up. I've dealt with a lot of trauma, and I'm sure a lot of that's been reaction. Not trying to shift the blame off me, but it's not all on me. But someone told me a while ago, when I do this, I do well. You wake up in the morning, if you got problems, that we all do, you write them down and you say, what can I work on today? And if you can't do anything about it today, then just push it aside and say, that's for another day and forget about it. And if you can do something today, which means, okay, well, today I can go to work and I can pay this bill. And you know what? I can call this person I'm not, and I can do this, but I can't pay off my tax bill today. You know, I can't make my health better today. I can try to be healthier, but I can't fix my leg today. I can't do this today. And just move it aside. And I can't fix the past. I can't change my addictions. I can't do anything, but I can make sure I don't do it moving forward, you know.
It's one day at a time. Yeah. And
Just
I wouldn't even refer to that as procrastination. It's prioritization.
yes,
You
exactly.
know, what are my priorities today?
Why waste your time on
Priorities.
something you can't do anything about today?
My priorities are to not drink. My priorities are to give good fuel to my body, eat well, get good rest, be mindful, be onerous, be courteous, be generous, be patient, be tolerant.
Absolutely.
Those are my priorities. Yeah. If I get some work done, great. If I, you know,
You know, right now I knew you were an angel. Your halo's starting to
I have a
show.
halo on my,
My
well, it
goodness.
started on my beard, but now it's like,
I knew it. I knew it.
yeah.
Now that's awesome.
I texted this in the Newmarket AA group, and maybe we're coming to the end here, but this was a good quote that I read. It's not a quote, it's just a saying, whatever, not a saying. Anyway,
Yeah.
just train your mind to see the good in everything. Positivity is a choice. The happiness of your life depends on the quality of your thoughts.
Wow. The happiness of your life depends on the quality of your thoughts. That's true.
It's
That's wow.
not complicated. It's just
Not.
making it happen. That's the only part, right? So
Well, the madness that goes on in this noggin, like
goes on in every noggin, Sean. Like there is madness in
it's
everyone.
just madness. Like the stuff I build up and then wreck and change and go through and like, you know, all the I go through a lifetime of stories in my head every day. Like it's just insanity.
A
But
great many problems that may never even happen, right?
well, they say 99% of what you worry about never happens. You
That's
know,
right.
isn't that crazy?
It is.
But anyway, I think this was a good podcast.
I think so too. It was great. We shared some great stuff, and just trying to define chivalrous guys and kind of get that out there, and
Yeah, I think it's good. It's kind of like you said, our mantra, our theme. So,
absolutely.
I think eventually we'll be wearing whole big steel knights of armor, and we'll have shields and stuff.
Come in, yeah.
Clank, clank, clank. We'll have to make our own like coat of arms, you know. So,
I have one.
oh yeah, I think I've seen it.
Yeah. At first, I thought it was turkeys on it, but it's peacocks, which I think is kind of cool. I have it here. I don't know.
I
I'm
think I saw it at your
gonna
place one
get
time.
it. I'm gonna get it.
Yeah. I was just happy your pants were on.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm sure.
Look
Yeah,
at
there it
that.
is, the Crokham coat of
Walk back
arms.
a bit. It's in the sun. There we go.
Yeah.
It's got peacocks. Is that ever cool?
Yeah,
The
yeah.
fighting peacocks.
Fighting peacocks,
I
yeah.
love it.
Yeah, kind of cool.
Well, I know I have one on my grandmother's side. She was a Macnaughton, and they have their coat of arms. So I guess
Oh,
she's my grandmother. I guess, you know, it's not my name, but you know.
that's cool. My Jackson's best friend is Ethan McNaughton.
Oh wow, that's
Yeah,
wild.
it
Yeah.
is one.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
but yeah, it's funny. Of course, this morning I've been sitting here, and I hope I haven't been rude. I looked down a couple of times because my phone's lighting up with like birthday calls and
I
messages.
saw you. I saw you. I was talking and I'm like, he seems a little distracted right now. Is he
I
listening to me?
was one ear, but my
I
son
get
called. I'm
it.
like, I'm texting, I'm like, I'll call you in a minute. I'm doing something, you know. I don't
Yeah,
know if you
I'm
can.
busy. I'm a podcaster, so I've got stuff
Yeah.
to do this morning. Like, yeah.
I'm out here making millions. Come on.
Yeah, I'm out here changing the world.
Well, maybe we
Never
will.
know. One person at a time, we hope.
Well, listen, I'll probably talk to you later today, maybe on text, but have a
Yeah.
good one.
Yeah. You have a great birthday, brother. You know I
I
love you,
will.
and have a great, just make it the day, make it the great day that you can make it, I guess, something like that.
I'm looking forward to the night, and I'm seeing one son and wife tonight and another one on the weekend, so it's going to be good. So,
Amazing.
all right, I
Amazing.
got a little piece of music here. The first one was for me. I'm going to play this one for you. All
Okay, awesome.
right.
That's okay. All right, brother. Have a great day.
You too.
In my arms.
No, that's not it.
Okay.
There we go. Take care.
Love you, brother.
Love you too.